Paradise Lost, Book 2, Second Part. Satan passes on his journey to Hell Gates, finds them shut, and who sat there to guard them, by whom at length they are opened, and discover to him the great gulf between heaven, hell, and heaven. With what difficulty he passes through, directed by chaos, the power of that place, to the site of this new world which he sought.
Meanwhile, the adversary of God and man, Satan, with thoughts inflamed of highest design, puts on swift wings and towards the gate of hell explores his solitary flight. Sometimes he scours the right-hand coast, sometimes the left. Now shaves with level wing the deep, then soars up to the fiery concave, towering high. At last appear hell-bounds, high reaching to the horrid roof, and thrice threefold the gates. Threefolds were brass, three iron, three of adamantine rock, impenetrable, impaled with circling fire, yet unconsumed. Before the gates there sat, on either side, a formidable shape. The one seemed woman to the waist and fair, but ended foul in many a scaly fold, voluminous and vast. A serpent armed with mortal sting. Around her, middle round, a cry of hellhounds, never ceasing, barked with wide Siberian mouths, full loud, and rung a hideous peal. Yet when they list, would creep, if aught disturbed their noise, into her womb and kennel there. Yet there still barked and howled within unseen. The other shape, if shape it might be called, that shape had none distinguishable in member, joint, or limb, or substance might be called, that shadow seemed, for each seemed either. Black it stood as night, fierce as ten furies, terrible as hell, and shook a dreadful dart. What seemed his head the likeness of a kingly crown had on. Satan was now at hand, and from his seat the monster moving onward came as fast with horrid strides. Hell trembled as he strode. The undaunted fiend, what this might be, admired, not feared. God and his Son accept, created thing not valued he, nor shunned. And with disdainful look thus first began.
Whence and what art thou, execrable shape, that darest, though grim and terrible, advance thy miscreated front athwart my way to yonder gates. Through them I mean to pass, that be assured, without leave asked of thee. Retire, or taste thy folly, and learn by proof, hell-born, not to contend with spirits of heaven.
To whom the goblin, full of wrath, replied,
Art thou that traitor angel? Art thou he who first broke peace in heaven and faith till then unbroken, and in proud rebellious arms drew after him the third part of heaven's sons, conjured against the highest? For which both thou and they outcast from God, are here condemned to waste eternal days in woe and pain? And reckonest thou thyself with spirits of heaven, hell-doomed, and breathed defiance here and scorn where I reign king, and to enrage thee more, thy king and lord? Back to thy punishment, false fugitive, and to thy speed add wings, lest with a whip of scorpions I pursue thy lingering, or with one stroke of this dirt. Strange horror seize thee, and pangs unfelt before.
So spake the grisly terror, and in shape, so speaking and so threatening, grew tenfold more dreadful and deform. On the other side, incensed with indignation, Satan stood unterrified, and like a comet burned that fires the length of Ophiuchus huge in the Arctic sky, and from his horrid hair shakes pestilence and war. Each at the head leveled his deadly aim. Their fatal hands no second stroke intend. And such a frown each cast at the other as when two black clouds with heaven's artillery fraught come rattling on over the Caspian, then stand front to front, hovering a space, till winds the signal blow to join their dark encounter in mid-air. So frowned the mighty combatants, that hell grew darker at their frown, so matched they stood. For never but once more was either like to meet so great a foe. And now great deeds had been achieved, whereof all hell had rung, had not the snaky sorceress that sat fast by Hellgate and kept the fatal key risen and with hideous outcry rushed between.
Oh, father, what intends thy hand?
She cried.
Against thy only son. What fury, O son, possesses thee to bend that mortal dart against thy father's head? And know'st for whom? For him who sits above and laughs the while at thee ordained his drudge, to execute whate'er his wrath, which he calls justice, bids. His wrath, which one day will destroy ye both.
She spake, and at her words the hellish pest forbore. Then these to her Satan returns.
So strange thy outcry, and thy words so strange thou interposest, that my sudden hand prevented spares to tell thee yet by deeds what it intends, till first I know of thee what thing thou art, thus double-formed, and why in this infernal vale first met thou call'st me father, and that phantasm call'st my son? I know thee not, nor ever saw till now sight more detestable than him and thee.
To whom thus the portress of Hellgate replied,
Hast thou forgot me then? And do I seem now in thine eyes so foul, once deemed so fair in heaven, when, at the assembly, and in sight of all the seraphim with thee combined in bold conspiracy against heaven's king, all on a sudden miserable pain surprised thee, dimmed thine eyes, and dizzy swum in darkness, while thy head, flames thick and fast, threw forth, till on the left side, opening wide, likest to thee in shape and countenance bright, then, shining heavenly fair, a goddess armed out of thy head I sprung. Amazement seized all the host of heaven. Back they recoiled, afraid at first, and called me sin, and for a sign portentous held me. But familiar groan I pleased, and with attractive graces won the most averse, thee chiefly, who full oft thyself in me thy perfect image viewing becamest enamored, and such joy thou tookst with me in secret that my womb conceived a growing burden. Meanwhile, war arose, and fields were fought in heaven, wherein remained, for what could else, to our almighty foe clear victory. To our part, loss and rout through all the Empyrean. Down they fell, driven headlong from the pitch of heaven, down into this deep, and in the general fall, I also. At which time, this powerful key into my hand was given, with charge to keep these gates forever shut, which none can pass without my opening. Pensive, here I sat alone, but long I sat not, till my womb pregnant by thee, and now excessive groan, prodigious motion felt, and rueful throes. At last this odious offspring, whom thou seest, thine own begotten, breaking violent way, tore through my entrails, that with fear and pain distorted all my nether shape, thus through transformed. But he, my inbred enemy, forth issued, brandishing his fatal dart made to destroy. I fled and cried out, "Death!" Hell trembled at the hideous name and sighed from all her caves, and back resounded, "Death!" I fled, but he pursued, though more it seems inflamed with lust than rage, and swifter far me overtook, his mother all dismayed and in embraces forcible and foul, engendering with me. Of that rape begot these yelling monsters that with ceaseless cry surround me as thou sawst, hourly conceived and hourly born, with sorrow infinite to me. For when they list into the womb that bred them, they return and howl and gnaw my bowels, their repast. Then, bursting forth afresh, with conscious terror vex me round, that rest or intermission none I find. Before mine eyes, in opposition sits grim death, my son, and foe who sets them on, and me, his parent, would full soon devour for want of other prey, but that he knows his end with mine involved, and knows that I should prove a bitter morsel and his bane, whenever that shall be. So fate pronounced. But thou, O father, I forewarn thee, shun his deadly arrow, neither vainly hope to be invulnerable in those bright arms, though tempered heavenly. For that mortal dint, save he who reigns above, none can resist.
She finished, and the subtle fiend his lore soon learned, now milder, and thus answered smooth.
Dear daughter, since thou claim'st me for thy sire, and my fair son here shows'st me the dear pledge of dalliance had with thee in heaven, and joys then sweet, now sad to mention, through dire change befallen us unforeseen, unthought of, no, I come no enemy, but to set free from out this dark and dismal house of pain both him and thee, and all the heavenly host of spirits that in our just pretenses armed fell with us from on high. From them I go this uncouth errand sole, and one for all myself expose with lonely steps to tread the unfounded deep, and through the void immense to search with wandering quest a place foretold should be. And by concurring signs ere now created vast and round, a place of bliss in the purlieus of heaven, and therein placed a race of upstart creatures to supply perhaps our vacant room, though more removed, lest heaven surcharged with potent multitude might hap to move new broils. Be this or aught than this more secret now designed, I haste to know, and this once known, shall soon return and bring ye to the place where thou and death shall dwell at ease, and up and down unseen wing silently the buxom air embalmed with odors. There ye shall be fed and fill immeasurably all things shall be your prey.
He ceased, for both seemed highly pleased, and death grinned horrible a ghastly smile to hear his famine should be filled, and blessed his maw destined to that good hour, no less rejoiced his mother bad, and thus bespake her sire.
The key of this infernal pit spied you in by command of heaven's all-powerful king I keep. By him forbidden to unlock these adamantine gates. Against all force death ready stands to interpose his dart, fearless to be o'ermatched by living might. But what owe I to his commands above, who hates me and hath hither thrust me down into this gloom of Tartarus profound, to sit in hateful office here confined, inhabitant of heaven and heavenly born, here in perpetual agony and pain, with terrors and with clamors compassed round of mine own brood that on my bowels feed. Thou art my father, thou my author, thou my being gavest me. Whom should I obey but thee whom follow? Thou wilt bring me soon to that new world of light and bliss among the gods who live at ease, where I shall reign at thy right hand voluptuous, as beseems thy daughter and thy darling without end.
Thus saying, from her side the fatal key, sad instrument of all our woe, she took, and towards the gate, rolling her bestial train, forthwith the huge portcullis high updrew, which but herself not all the Stygian powers could once have moved. Then in the keyhole turns the intricate wards, and every bolt and bar of massy iron or solid rock with ease unfastens. On a sudden open fly, with impetuous recoil and jarring sound, the infernal doors, and on their hinges great harsh thunder, that the lowest bottom shook of Erebus. She opened, but to shut excelled her power. The gates wide open stood, that with extended wings a bannered host under spread ensigns marching might pass through, with horse and chariots ranked in loose array. So wide they stood, and like a furnace mouth cast forth redounding smoke and ruddy flame. Before their eyes, in sudden view, appear the secrets of the hoary deep. A dark, illimitable ocean without bound, without dimension, where length, breadth, and height, and time, and place are lost. Where eldest night and chaos, ancestors of nature, hold eternal anarchy amidst the noise of endless wars, and by confusion stand. For hot, cold, moist, and dry, four champions fierce strive here for maestry, and to battle bring their embryon atoms. They around the flag of each his faction, in their several clans, light-armed or heavy, sharp, smooth, swift, or slow, swarm populous, unnumbered as the sands of Barca or Cyrene's torrid soil. Levied to side with warring winds, and poise their lighter wings. To whom these most adhere, he rules a moment. Chaos umpire sits, and by decision more embroils the fray by which he reigns. Next him, high arbiter chance governs all. Into this wild abyss, the womb of nature and perhaps her grave, of neither sea, nor shore, nor air, nor fire, but all these in their pregnant causes mixed confusedly, and which thus must ever fight, unless the Almighty Maker them ordain his dark materials to create more worlds. Into this wild abyss the wary fiend stood on the brink of hell, and looked a while, pondering his voyage, for no narrow frith he had to cross. At last his sail-broad vans he spreads for flight, and in the surging smoke uplifted spurns the ground. Thence many a league, as in a cloudy chair ascending, rides audacious, but that seat soon failing meets a vast vacuity. All unawares, fluttering his pennons vain, plumb down he drops 10,000 fathom deep, and to this hour down had been falling, had not by ill chance the strong rebuff of some tumultuous cloud, instinct with fire and nitre, hurried him as many miles aloft. That fury stayed, quenched in a boggy surtis, neither sea nor good dry land. Nigh foundered, on he fares, treading the crude consistence, half on foot and half flying. Behooves him now both oar and sail, as when a griffin through the wilderness with winged course o'er hill or moory dale pursues the Arimaspian, who by stealth had from his wakeful custody purloined the guarded gold. So eagerly the fiend, o'er bog or steep, through strait, rough, dense, or rare, with head, hands, wings, or feet, pursues his way, and swims, or sinks, or wades, or creeps, or flies. At length, a universal hubbub wild of stunning sounds and voices all confused, borne through the hollow dark, assaults his ear with loudest vehemence. Thither he plies undaunted, to meet there whatever power or spirit of the nethermost abyss might in that noise reside. Of whom to ask which way the nearest coast of darkness lies bordering on light? When, straight behold, the throne of chaos and his dark pavilions spread wide on the wasteful deep. With him enthroned sat sable-vested night, eldest of things, the consort of his reign. And by them stood Orcus and Addes, and the dreaded name of Demogorgon, rumor next, and chance, and tumult and confusion all embroiled, and discord with a thousand various mouths. To whom Satan, turning boldly thus,
"Ye powers and spirits of this nethermost abyss, chaos and ancient night, I come no spy with purpose to explore or to disturb the secrets of your realm, but by constraint wandering this darksome desert, as my way lies through your spacious empire, up to light. Alone, and without guide, half lost, I seek what readiest path leads where your gloomy bounds confine with heaven. Or if some other place from your dominion one the ethereal king possesses lately, thither to arrive, I travel this profound. Direct my course, directed. No mean recompense it brings to your behoof. If I that region lost, all usurpation then it's expelled, reduce to her original darkness and your sway, which is my present journey, and once more erect the standard there of ancient night. Yours be the advantage all, mine the revenge.
Thus Satan, and him thus the anarch old, with faltering speech and visage incomposed, answered,
I know thee, stranger, who thou art, that mighty leading angel, who of late made head against heaven's king, though overthrown. I saw and heard, for such a numerous host fled not in silence through the frighted deep, with ruin upon ruin, rout on rout, confusion worse confounded, and heaven gates poured out by millions, victorious bands pursuing. I, upon my frontiers here, keep residence. If all I can will serve, that little which is left so to defend, encroached on still through our intestine broils, weakening the scepter of old night. First, hell, your dungeon, stretching far and wide beneath. Now lately, heaven and earth, another world hung o'er my realm, linked in a golden chain to that side heaven from whence your legions fell. If that way be your walk, you have not far. So much the nearer danger. Go and speed, havoc, and spoil, and ruin are my gain.
He ceased, and Satan stayed not to reply, but glad now his sea should find a shore. With fresh alacrity and force renewed, springs upward like a pyramid of fire into the wild expanse. And through the shock of fighting elements on all sides round environed, wins his way, sin and death amain following his track. Such was the will of heaven, paved after him a broad and beaten way over the dark abyss, whose boiling gulf tamely endured a bridge of wondrous length from hell continued, reaching the outmost orb of this frail world, by which the spirits perverse with easy intercourse pass to and fro to tempt or punish mortals, except whom God and good angels guard by special grace. But now, at last, the sacred influence of light appears, and from the walls of heaven shoots far into the bosom of dim night a glimmering dawn. Here nature first begins her farthest verge, and chaos to retire as from her outmost works a broken foe, with tumult less and with less hostile din. That Satan with less toil and now with ease wafts on the calmer wave by dubious light, and like a weather-beaten vessel holds gladly the port, though shrouds and tackle torn, or in the emptier waste resembling air, weighs his spread wings, at leisure to behold far off the imperial heaven extended wide in circuit, undetermined square or round, with opal battlements and towers adorned of living sapphire, once his native seat. And fast by, hanging in a golden chain, this pendant world, in bigness as a star of smallest magnitude close by the moon. Thither, full fraught with mischievous revenge, accursed, and in a cursed hour, he hides.